This is just going to be an Out Now Nights episode, so this is super exclusive. It's a super exclusive, as I call it.
That sounds like...
sounds sexy.
Yeah,
super
sexual.
Super sklusky.
Super
sklusy. We haven't done one of a Nights episode in a while. I gotta look back and see which one it is so I don't mess it up. We are now recording, and this is a new episode of Out Now Nights. This is one of our kind of our Podomatic SoundCloud exclusive episodes. This is not going to be available on iTunes. It's going to be an exclusive. Because why not? I'm sitting here. I'm with Jordan Grout. Say hello.
Hello.
And his lovely wife, Caitlin Grout.
Hello.
And we're discussing the movie Tusk. This is the latest feature from writer-director Kevin Smith. It is a film based off a story that originated in one of his podcasts, Smodcast, to be exact. And I feel like I knew going in, me and Jordan knew going in that we were probably going to want to talk about Tusk in some capacity. But I didn't want to spend the entire podcast talking about Tusk or have like an extended Out Now Quickie segment devoted to the film Tusk. So I figured why not just turn it into a Nights episode? And given that the movie made no money at the box office, might as well make it exclusive for the people that actually did go out of their way to see it. So there, here we are. We're going to talk about Tusk.
All three people.
All three. Yeah, we make up a good percentage of the population that saw Tusk opening weekend. I didn't even see it. I saw it at a press screening. You saw it opening weekend. You actually paid money for Tusk. I would have paid money if I didn't get the screening for it, but still.
Well, there are probably more people in your theater than there were in
ours. That's probably true.
It was us plus two other people.
There was like 18 people in my press screening for Tusk. So.
Oh, that's sad.
All right, so with that said.
I know you loved it.
Let's get some simple thoughts out of the way on Tusk, and then we'll just dive straight into the movie, but I want to say right up front that we're going to go full spoilers and we're going to go full frontal spoilers on Tusk. That's how Caitlin likes it, especially full frontal and full frontal spoilers on Tusk. That's the plan here.
The only way.
Yeah. So with that in mind, let me give a brief synopsis of what Tusk is. Tusk is a film by Kevin Smith. It stars Justin Long as a podcaster. Hey, that's a thing. He's the co-host of a show that basically makes fun of people on the internet. And he goes to Canada to interview a person. That doesn't work out, but he sees a note left by some man explaining that he has lots of interesting stories to tell. So he goes to seek out this man who's played by Michael Parks. Upon arrival, he begins to hear some interesting stories, but soon passes out. And upon waking up, he discovers that this man has much more sinister intentions than one might have assumed, initially. That's the broadest way I can define it. Again, we will go full frontal spoilers on Tusk as we carry on. But with that said, Jordan, how about some simple thoughts of Tusk? What did you think of the movie Tusk overall?
I really enjoyed it.
Did you? Yeah.
It's not a good movie, like at all, really. It has some great moments, but overall, like it does. It kind of fails as a film. But I loved it, and it's. Definitely has the makings of a cult classic, I feel.
Caitlin?
Yeah, I really liked it as well. I mean, it may have been the people that we were with, because we had two other people there with us, some good friends, and we were laughing a lot through the film, probably at points where you weren't supposed to, but it was an inconsistent movie. But I thought it was good. Except there was the ending I had a problem with. Well, I had a problem with many things, but the ending kind of bummed me out.
We'll get there. I didn't like this movie.
Yeah.
I won't say that I was. I didn't hate it, and I will say that there's a lot of promise, and it continues to make me interested in what Kevin Smith wants to do next. Because I'm happy. I'm a big Kevin Smith fan. I have posters in my room of Kevin Smith movies. Dogma and Clerks, in particular, two of my movies I consider favorites of all time. But this movie really does seem like a dare. Like, it seems like I've talked about this on my podcast. They said, "Yay, I should make this movie," and I said, "I'll take you up on that," and he went for it. Mm-hmm. And while I admire the idea of him taking on a project like this and putting it onto the big screen, it doesn't feel really. It's not good. It's not a good thing. Yeah. And, So yeah, those are some basic impressions, I guess, of Toast for All of Us.
I mean, it's definitely a first draft. Like, he wrote it in like a week, probably, and
just, while high.
Yeah, while high, and most likely never did a revision. And part of the problem with Smith is that he has so many like yes men around him that I feel like he didn't have anybody to tell him, like, hey,
wrong?
You know, this could be a really great horror movie if you just did this, 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 and this.
I feel like it's a great horror movie up to like 40 minutes in. This movie's really good. Like, I think there's a lot of great, there's a lot of great atmosphere. There's a lot of tension. There's some, the humor is like Kevin Smith style humor that works for me while it's still balanced well with the horror tone that he's going for. But it peaks halfway through.
Yeah,
like you get to the point. We're gonna go full frontal spoilers now. I'm gonna keep saying full frontal spoilers, by the way. We get to that halfway end point where basically you get the reveal of Justin Long is now Walrus Man. He's Mr. Tusk, which looks like not only painful from like a film perspective, but from like an actor's perspective as well. It doesn't look like that's an easy costume to get into.
No.
And be like, here we are. Like, it looks like this is a miserable experience. So good for Justin Long for sticking with it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nowhere for the movie to go at that point. It's like it's similar to something like Human Centipede, where it's not the same movie at all. But like in terms of like showing you the big thing, which is in that movie people sewn together, which Jordan has plenty of experience with at this point. I'll link to your ice bucket challenge on the show notes for this episode. In this movie, Tusk, once you see him as, you know, Mr. Tusk, that's it. Like, there's no worse part than that. Like, there's nothing, like, worse than being a human that's been turned into a walrus through mad scientist surgery, that there's nowhere else for it to go. And yet, we still have another, like, half of a movie to be like, well, I guess this is happening. How do we solve that? I don't know. How about have Johnny Depp play a wacky character? Like, that's a thing.
And it's just one giant monologue for like the rest of the movie.
And he stops this movie dead in its tracks. I could not stand it. Yeah, and it's
and like there's a flashback with the two of them, Parson.
That's terrible.
And
that
Depp,
was the worst scene for me,
which,
personally.
You know, could have been fine if it were just a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But this thing is like, oh, it felt like 15 minutes. It went on and on and on.
On and on and on is how I describe most of the second half of this movie. It's like everything gets dragged because there's no movie here. It feels like this, if this was like Creepshow 4 or whatever you want to call it, like if it was a part of a horror anthology or like Kevin Smith for somehow got roped into a VHS movie, like this would be like a perfect segment in that. But instead, we get a full feature length movie of this story that has nowhere to go after you get to the big, you know, Tusk thing.
And it's all exposition. But it's exposition you don't need because you've seen it already. Like, you know it's going on. You don't need a character to come in and explain it to you, which just makes it even more just boring and monotonous.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like we were saying, the first half, like, it's some of the best writing of Kevin Smith's career.
It's fine.
There's
the best writing of his career. It's
I mean, there's a little line about how, what was it, like, a bottle is just a bottle, but if you, like, put a story behind it.
And it becomes a talisman.
Yeah, like, I'm not wording it correctly, but, like, it's beautiful, like, how Parks delivers it.
I do think that him writing for Michael Park seems to inspire a lot of interesting writing from Kevin Smith that kind of expands beyond slackers explaining things in the realm of pop culture. I'll give it that. And especially because I was a big fan of Red State. I really enjoyed Red State and what that movie did. So, that, I mean, it's still him kind of writing to that degree in terms of Michael Parks. Like, and Michael Parks is very good in this movie. I'll give him that. Like, I mean, all the actors are fine in this movie. I think Justin Long probably does some of his best work in this film, given the demands that a movie like this requires. I would say Genesis Rodriguez is even good. She plays his girlfriend.
Yeah, she's very good. And so is Haley Joel Osment.
Haley Joel Osment is around. I mean, he doesn't have anything to do beyond, like, react to things, which is the same as Genesis, Sega Genesis Rodriguez. She has just enough to like do, and she, you know, has the emotional beats to play because she's Walt's girlfriend and she's conflicted about things. And there's enough there. Haley Joel Osment's more of like, hey, I'm your friend and I'm also cheating on you with your girlfriend and blah blah blah. And then I'll react to Johnny Depp's wacky nose and mustache character.
But they were completely serious the whole time. Yeah. Which, thank God, because then I wouldn't have known at all what to do with that scene.
I know.
He was like, I'm like, at least they are responding to this seriously. Like, yeah. Oh, no. Because it was too wacky.
I just was imagining what they were thinking, sitting across Johnny Depp, like, throughout days and days of exposition. Like,
what's weird is on here. In the notes for this film, apparently there's a version that Johnny Depp's character, Guy LaPointe, he is a Canadian detective that's been tracking the Michael Parks character. He's like a serial killer. He's a serial killer who's been skinning people in order to create these walrus suits. And in my mind, since we see that there's more than one attempt at a walrus, I feel like there's some kind of like, if like Michael Parks in his giant house opened like a closet, you'd see like a giant rack of Tusk costumes, much like Doug Funny on Doug has like just his own costume like over and over again in his closet. That's the scenario I imagine for Michael Parks. I was like trying to get another one of these out to put another person in.
He says it's all dried and nice sense of lavender.
They have plastic. They have plastic.
Yeah.
To keep them preserved.
He goes to the dry cleaner.
But yeah, so Johnny Depp, he has like, he's like the surprise cameo of the detective that's been tracking him. Apparently there's a version where that character does not exist. I desperately want to see that version of the movie. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Like a feature-length film where he doesn't exist?
Like there's just, you know, I'd imagine it's just alternate versions of scenes where Sega Genesis Rodriguez and Haley Joel Osment are just going around Canada without having the assistance of him in order to find Justin Long.
Like, that would have been so much better.
In terms of handling the tone, yes, because, like, Johnny Depp's character, it's entirely comedic, and it just ruins the... It not only slows the movie down, it just ruins the tone completely.
Oh, yeah.
It just feels like they only took one... Any scene Johnny Depp was in, it's like they shot it once... And almost like he didn't want to like inconvenience him and was like, that's fine. I felt like it was like only one shot takes. You know what I mean?
They filmed him in like 2 days in L.A. Like the rest.
Yeah, like it took no, felt like it took no time. And they were like, it's perfect when it probably and really it wasn't. They should have, done more with that with him.
Or just like just not have him play super broad. Like he's entirely comedic. Like his character is like he gets hamburgers and smashes them because Johnny Depp needs busy work to do with his hands apparently while delivering random monologues that are supposed to be funny but not. That's the other thing. He's just not funny. Like even if the tone was like wonky because of having comedy and horror, it'd help if the comedy was good. But it's not that. The closest it gets is like when he's interacting with his daughter and Kevin Smith's daughter, who play like Canadian convenience store clerks. Isn't that ironic? He has his daughter playing a convenience store clerk in one of his movies.
I like that, but that felt a little bit weird to me, to be honest.
Yeah, but apparently they get their own film. Those two and Johnny Depp have their own movie called Yoga Hosers, which is the next film in his like weird Canadian trilogy that he plans on making. Which is like mostly shot already, apparently. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I'm curious what that's going to be like, given that this movie, bombed horribly at the box office this weekend. But yeah.
But even though there's so much that doesn't work, I would see it again with like a packed house. Like if there are like midnight screenings of this movie in years to come, like I would totally go to it in a heartbeat.
I'm certainly curious how it plays in kind of that packed midnight crowd, because I as I said, I got to see it at a press screening where some people like to have more fun than others at these kind of screenings, but at the same time I can acknowledge that there would probably be a different energy in the room if I saw it with a packed theater full of Canadian Kevin Smith fans, for example, instead of people that maybe like Kevin Smith and maybe don't.
Yeah, I mean, it's something I would never watch by myself. Sort of like, I would never watch, like, Rocky Horror Picture Show by myself, or, like, The Room by myself. Like, it just plays with people. It's a cult film. Like, it's not necessarily, like, a good film. Like, that's why it's a cult film.
I guess, but even then, it's like, it seems like it is trying to be that cult movie, and cult movies aren't ones that are made to be cult movies, if that makes any sense. Like, maybe... certain ones, acknowledge that in that they can be viewed in a certain sense when they're being made, but very rarely is there a movie that's considered a cult classic that was made with the intention of being watched as like a midnight movie to such a large degree. Like something like, I don't, like The Room was a serious movie that Tom Wiseau was making and just turned into this thing.
But yeah, the way I've heard Smith talk about it,
it sounded pretty, I think he, like, it didn't sound like he had the intention of it being a cult classic. Like,
I mean, really maybe or people out there have a different view of him discussing Tusk, but yeah, he almost made it seem like it was a true gritty horror film, and he was really proud of it, and or maybe he was just saying that. Who knows?
I mean, too, I'd be curious to hear about his reaction on his various podcasts now that the movie's debuted, to the reviews it has, which are fairly mixed. They're not like terrible, but they're not like extremely positive either. Mm-hmm. As well as the box office results, where the movie just didn't make too much money. Not that I don't think anyone was expecting Tusk to make a lot, but I mean, it was like in 14th place or something at the box office, and it had
I was shocked.
It had a decent sized release. It had almost no advertising, I'll give it that. But it was in over 600 theaters. It's a high number considering Red State was in like 5 theaters, and you know, it doesn't have that cop out money. It doesn't have Bruce Willis in its back pocket. It's just like here's a random horror movie of Justin Long. Go see it. Like there's nothing there, but
But Long, you know, I also with Long's character, that podcast, I hated that character.
Yeah, he's a dick.
I didn't believe that that show was as popular as it was. Like, it's a show that I would listen to for about a minute and turn off.
I feel sick with myself.
Yeah.
It's a weird, like, because it's clearly, like, this movie, it has a lot of autobiographical elements in it. It's about podcasters talking about weird things and doing weird stuff in Canada, with, you know, Ralph Garman from Hollywood Babylon, his buddy from Hollywood Babylon, playing a police detective named Frank Garman. Like, there's a ton of like in jokes and things that reference Kevin Smith's current life as a podcaster. Cell phone ring. Like, and these are things I don't mind. Like, those things didn't bother me. Those are fun. Yeah. Like, hey, those are like, if you're a fan of Kevin Smith's and you get these things, good for you. It doesn't intrude on the movie. But yeah, in terms of like the characters, Wallace is like, yeah, he's a podcaster who describes himself as he used to be like a geek that wasn't popular, and then he became the podcasting guy that's been super popular, but he's like an asshole. And while I don't think Kevin Smith considers himself an asshole necessarily, there's a lot of weird mixes of his own DNA and probably DNA of his friends that he knows in this podcasting world that have like turned into this not very sympathetic character that you're supposed to like, I guess, root for, but not really, because he's a jerk to begin with.
Yeah.
It's like, like, obviously you don't want someone to be turned into a walrus. Like, no, that's not a good thing. as much as I might not have liked Wallace, I don't think, man, this guy really needs to be surgically turned into a walrus. That'll get him. Like,
he's so, hateful.
I think the thing that works for him, though, is that he's abrasive, and he's a pretty hateful character, but he's, like, pretty honest about it.
Yeah, he
is.
You know, so you can admire that, like, that honesty quality. You're like, well, I mean, I know a lot of people that are dicks and they're honest, so I don't want you to die. Because that is pretty, I mean, that's just like one quality that I guess is kind of good.
Which brings us to the later portions of the movie. When we're not dealing with ridiculous Johnny Depp character, we are still getting a pretty solid horror, like body horror, so like a very Cronenbergian type horror film, which is admirable, I guess, just because it's different for Kevin Smith. Like, it's not exactly the most like solid horror movie you'll ever see, but in terms of Kevin Smith using like digital photography to create an interesting mood and has a good score to go along with it, let alone a sense of dread because of Michael Park's effective performance. Like, there's a lot of things there. So you get to, you know, you get more and more of this Tusk thing, and you eventually get to the ending, which involves Fleetwood Mac, Justin Long, and Michael Parks all combining into a brawl set to the song of Tusk.
I don't know. I'm conflicted on that.
I liked it. I didn't think it was that consistent, but I thought it was okay.
It certainly fit with the movie, I guess. Just because you have
being all over the place.
Because it's
being all over the place, exactly. Because you have
like, what do I expect?
Like, yeah, exactly. Like you have the song Tusk playing over a walrus on walrus fight, where Michael Parks is wearing a. By the way, like,
I'm into it.
I'm very excited to like see the behind the scenes scene where like Kevin Smith convinces Michael Parks to like go completely like butt ass naked in this movie. By the way,
I know.
I want Michael Parks to give an interview where he says, you know, in the 52 years of my career, no one ever asked me to show my behind before, but I trust Kevin. Like that's what I want to hear in this movie.
I enjoyed that. Him Parks in the walrus suit was. I loved that whole ending, except for the very, very ending.
Okay, so yeah,
let's talk about the very, very ending.
So we have the fight scene, and Justin Long eventually is able to use his tusks to kill Michael Parks' character. At that very point, Guy LaPointe and Sega Genesis Rodriguez and Haley Joel Osment burst in the room, and they're like, what the fuck is this? And, you know, Guy points a shotgun, cut to black, and then we go, whatever, 6 months later, whatever, to the, exotic zoo?
Yeah, and they've just left him there in the house.
And no one works at this exotic zoo. No one's there.
Yeah, the very end, Sega Genesis Rodriguez and Haley Joel Osment come out with they have a newspaper in their hand. It's actually a fish, which is what Justin Long's Tusk character eats. They throw it to a little doghouse by a lonely pool with a little beach ball. This is so ridiculous to describe. And then, sure enough, Wallace the Walrus comes out and still in his costume and eats the fish, and that's the life he lives now, I guess.
What's so sad?
What's weird? And I didn't ask you guys too. Did you like the costume? Like in terms of like, did you think it was effective in what it was trying to go do?
We talked about this for so long afterwards. Yes and no.
Yeah, there's too much of it, and it's oddly lit.
Right? It's just that's a good point. It does seem like oddly lit's a good way to put it, because it does seem like you. I don't know how the less is more would work in a scenario where a man has been turned into a walrus and you're supposed to show that, but I could say that wasn't it. I guess.
Yeah.
It's like, well, that's what I was expecting, I guess. But at the same time, it just looks very bright and weird and
it's so obvious. But then it's like. I brought up the point right after the movie that if you're not like a classically trained surgeon, you are gonna make a pretty like gross looking walrus man suit. You know,
I guess
really get that down.
I guess I'd be more curious to see what the like Stan Winston design of this suit would be, or the the Weta Digital design of this suit would be, rather than like whatever he ended up getting for this suit.
Rubber.
Yeah, and
it looked rubber. Yeah, it looked like a rubber suit. Like it didn't look like it looked horrible. Like in terms of like, well, that sucks for Justin Long. But at the same time, it wasn't like I never thought this was like a real thing.
No, I wasn't like grossed out by it. I laughed when I saw it.
I did too.
I laughed so hard. And then, at that point, the movie is comedic to me, and I'm like, well, I guess this works. This rubber suit.
Yeah, at first I thought it was jarring and...
Yeah, you get that initial, like, but...
You just see so much of it for the next hour. And, you know, I'm sure Kevin Smith was proud of it, and so he wanted to show it as much as possible, but he didn't realize the effect that would have on the film.
Yeah.
It's just, it comes down to me not knowing what he wanted to do with this kind of movie and this kind of portrayal of the end result in that last, you know, the second half of the movie, where you get the ideal the idealized version of this podcast story he told is like suddenly in front of you, and I'm not sure if I'm supposed to be like grossed out by it or laughing at it
it's just
he was confusing the viewer, which did not help. Like it's like all right,
because the second time Justin Long went under the knife, he then lost both legs and his arms got shortened. But then I saw the full costume and I was like, why did his legs need to be cut off?
Yeah, I didn't understand why he needed to cut off his legs.
That just made no sense to me. I was like, well, you could have sewed the legs together and sewed.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It was like, you get that early reveal that he's like, Justin Long's in a wheelchair and there's like a blanket over him, and it's like, I was expecting like his legs to be sewn together, like, or like he had like fins now or something. Like, I wasn't expecting just one leg to be gone completely. And then he lost both of them, and it's like, all right.
And it's like, but here's some extra skin where your legs were.
It's a weird looking, because it's a weird grafting, because he's like in the suit, but it's also part of him at the same time, right? Because clearly he had to insert the head in there, because the head kind of like moves back and forth, and it's like a turtle shell almost.
It is.
At the same time, his legs are kind of his stumps are kind of grafted to the bottom, and his hands are. I assume he lost his hands, but the arms are like sewed into the flipper stuff. Such a weird movie to describe.
Like, I wish you would have just seen like bits and pieces of it, and then like finally at the end, like, you see the whole thing.
Or if it was just a better costume, right?
Yeah.
Well, because even like the human centipede, like, that's a simple idea, and the most you have to show is bandages around mouths. Like, there's not really much going on there, which I think works, because that side is grotesque. Like, there's as much as I am indifferent about that movie, because I don't think it's successful in its tone very much either, I do think the cinematic quality of it works for what it's trying to do. And in terms of the displaying a man in a walrus costume, I can't say Kevin Smith fully succeeded at that. The build-up to it and everything around it in terms of the horror elements, that's mostly effective, I'd say. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Like, I love how just no one at the end was like, well, let's bring him somewhere and have this suit ripped off of him. Like, let's just leave him.
that's what got me about the ending. Like, what did you think was going to happen when they got to the zoo and they showed, like, his little doghouse thing? What did you expect to see him in that suit still? Yeah. Or, like, you did?
Yeah. When they were walking to the building, I was like, oh, maybe he's in, like, rehabilitation, but he's, like, partial.
Manimal rehabilitation.
Yeah, something. Yeah. He's not going to have this, like, really terrible skin still. It's like, no, he's still dead.
Right? Yeah.
And maybe it's a budget thing, maybe, but I just, like, hit the last shot of him being still in that walrus suit, which is, you know, assembled out of the skins of different people and still is still kind of shoddily stitched together and things. Like, if you're going to ship him to an exotic zoo and leave him in this, like, could they have not, like, if he didn't want to be out of this costume, could he have at least, like, been given a walrus makeover to clean up this thing a bit, like, sterilize the suit or something?
And, like, a better home?
Like, yeah.
Some buddies.
Like, honestly, like, I was expecting him to, like, be out of the suit, but still, like, in walrus mode, where, like, he's just, like, this horrible leftover of a human being that just, like, responds as, because, like, his tongue was cut, so he can't talk anymore, like, his tongue was cut out in this, so it's like, yeah, he's just a walrus now, I guess. But yeah, I figured he'd be out of the suit in some way, but just still, like, too far gone, he lost his humanity to be, like, a regular person. But no, he's still just in the really shoddily assembled suit, which is, like, even, like, that can't be hygienic, right? Like, he's inside of...
Like, you have an infection.
Yeah,
at
really.
At this point. You have multiple wounds.
Wait, where was the zoo at the end?
It was... What?
I'm just kidding.
I assume it was in Canada, right? Like,
I thought it was at the same house.
It was at
a zoo. Like, it didn't. They wouldn't like turn his house into a zoo.
Like, okay.
They're all.
I thought it was at the same house because it said zoo, but nowhere did I see any animals. And
well, they only showed us.
It just looked like his same house in the backyard.
Well, I think it's more of, again, budget. I think it's more they had a location, they made a sign, but they didn't have time to, like, show other animals. Let alone an exotic zoo is not the kind of place I'd expect, like, tons of people to be in Canada. It's more of, like, here's, like, the mystery spot in Santa Cruz where, like, only so many people will show up, like, every now and then.
Yeah.
Okay. Well... Yeah, that's another question.
It is a sad ending, I'll give you that, because it's just,
and
like...
When she tries to jar Justin Long's memory, she's like, remember what it's like to miss and love someone, and he fucking remembers, and he cries, and then she leaves. I was like, what?
She had Cole from The Sixth Sense. She was good.
Oh my god. That was terrible. I was like, kill him. Shoot him.
Yeah, honestly, right? Like, I would have been content with him being put out of his misery. Like,
that's where it should have ended in my mind.
Yeah, I didn't need a coda. I would have been more satisfied with them like visiting his grave or something. And then a flipper pops out of the ground. It's a fairy ending. That would have been
it grabs Haley Joel Osment.
He eats it.
No. Amazing. See, this is the version I want, where like Gila Point does not exist. Like, that's not a character at all. It's all. It's just the. It's just the four characters: Michael Parks and Sega Genesis and Justin Long and Cole from Sixth Sense. And yeah, it's played more. It's played straighter. And then at the very end, you have the visit in the grave, and the flipper pops out, and like he's like, no, and then like wake up screaming or something.
Yeah, I would have liked that. Oh man, yeah. I had accepted everything, and was really into the movie. I was into it. You know, I was like, they're gonna see him. Justin Long really wants to be shot in the face. We know it. A guy's gonna do it. Yes, this movie's gonna end. I'm okay. And then it just kept going, and I was like, now I'm sad. I didn't like that ending.
Well, I hope he releases a version, like you were saying, that without death.
I'm very curious, yeah.
That'd be interesting if like on some special edition Blu-ray, since he always has a whole bunch of features, if he had alternate cuts of it.
See, this is why I enjoy Kevin Smith so much, where I know I'm bound to see this movie again, and I'm bound to probably buy it, I can see all the features on this thing, the commentary, and whatever else he has to go with it. I'm happy to continue supporting him. It's just, I'm gonna call him like I see him, and I didn't like the movie, so I can't like recommend it, let alone want to see more iterations of this movie. But I'm still weirdly curious about all that went into it. So
yeah.
Well, I haven't seen a movie like that ever, so that's saying something.
Like, I was definitely entertained. Yeah. I was never bored.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I was always fascinated by everything.
What's happening?
Like, even the, 10-hour Johnny Depp monologue, I was like, this is crazy. Like, what else is going to happen?
Like a roller coaster. I was like smiling the whole time I was watching it. I was like, what is this?
When is this story coming out, by the way? The story of how Johnny Depp wound up in this movie.
Yeah. Like,
It was a nice bait and switch, like a week before or whatever, when he was announced Johnny Depp as the star of his next movie, which was a great way to throw off the scent that he's in this movie. But I'm curious, like, where did that partnership begin? Like, are his daughters just great friends, and that's how that worked? Because I have no idea how this, like,
I heard that they're great friends.
That's my only guess, right?
Yeah. I heard that they're just friends.
They're Hollywood kids. They probably go to, even if Johnny Depp lives in France, they probably like go to school together or something like that. And it's like, hey, meet my dad, Johnny. Like, I don't know.
You may know him.
Yeah. I call him time around the house.
Yeah. I'd see it again. I would recommend it.
Totally.
A crowd.
Yes.
Don't rent it and watch it by yourself.
Don't do that.
It's see it with at least like 5 friends.
That said, I am curious how this movie would have done if it was released on VOD as well, given that it made nothing at the box office this weekend.
Yeah, I wish it would have been released. I would have purchased it and invited everybody over.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, I think we've talked enough about Tusk. So yeah, that's our take on Tusk for this very special episode of Out Now Nights. Jordan, Caitlin, thank you for joining me to discuss this movie.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I do love it when a plan comes together. as one Liam Neeson once said in a remake of a thing that someone else, George Papard, said. That's, I'm going to get off this A-Team tangent. Thanks. And there you guys go. You got your Out Now exclusive for the film Tusk. This episode of Out Now.